Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Jennifer Hope Kotler, and you are listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. I am so excited tonight because I have a fantastic guest on for the next hour. I'm looking forward to having some conversation with Joel, with all of you. I just want to give you initially our call-in number. At any point in the conversation, if you would like to call in, we will welcome the conversation, ask a question, make a comment. The guest call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. For those of you who may be new to the program, I am an ordained minister, but I also am a spiritual director and life purpose coach, and I work in private practice with clients across the country by phone, by Skype, by FaceTime, and I love what I do, and I love having conversations about spirituality, about religion, and about God. So I'm excited to be on tonight and to have joining me Joel Reedon. Joel is a personal development coach. He's in New York City, and we became acquainted when we were doing the Super Soul Sunday recap show on the Life Coach Radio Network, which comes on at noon on Sunday afternoons right after the Super Soul Sunday show is on the OWN channel. So, Joel, would you like to give folks a little bit more information about yourself?
Sure. Thank you. Hi, Reverend Jen. Hi, everybody. So my name is Joel Reedon, and I am a life and executive coach. I work with gay men and others in areas such as spirituality, life purpose, personal identity, relationships, and careers. And I really subscribe to the belief that with the right guidance can create life-changing shifts in their perspective that can break down self-imposed barriers and reconnect them to who they really are. I work both with individuals and groups, and I partner with my clients to help them overcome fear of success, fear of failure, and fear of judgment by others to help them identify and achieve their goals and dreams. I'm a regular co-host on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm also a certified professional coach and received my accreditation from the Institute of Professional Excellence in Coaching, IPEC for short. I live in New York City with my boyfriend, Matt, and in my free time, I like to work on my charity fund, the William Fund, which provides funding to LGBT youth outreach programs in the city. And I am also an avid writer, traveler, and I like to spend time with my family and friends. And if you want to get hold of me, you can reach me on my website, which is joelreedence.com. That's R-E-A-D-E-N-C-E, joelreedence.com. By email at joel@joelreedence.com. My Twitter handle is joelreedence. And my Facebook page is Joel Reedence Coaching.
Awesome. Wow, that's great. I noticed that you said one of your things that you love to do is travel, and I know that I love to travel. I have to ask, where is your favorite
place? See, she comes up
with
hard questions.
See, I knew it was going to be hard. It's hard for me to answer that question.
I will tell you that the latest and greatest place I went to was I went to Spain, and we went to Madrid and to Barcelona, and we split our time between the two cities. I really liked Madrid, but I loved Barcelona. It was an amazing city. So incredible architecture, the Gaudi architecture, and just a very incredible city. Every street corner, the corners are very small. There's lots of room for bike paths and Vespas, and wherever you're sitting within the city, you feel like you're in a small neighborhood. It's very community focused. It was beautiful.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That sounds wonderful. I haven't been to Barcelona or Madrid yet. Spain is on our short list of places to go next. So, it sounds a lot like Rome than how I experienced Rome. But anyway, so tell me and tell our listeners, what sort of prompted you to want to be on our show to talk about spirituality? Had you had a sort of spiritual awakening? Was spirituality always a part of your life? Tell us about a bit about your journey.
Okay. Well, let's just start by saying I grew up in a Irish Catholic neighborhood and went to a Jesuit high school. So I was exposed to religion my entire life. I'm very thankful for my mother, who worked like hell to get us a good education and put us in good school. But the religious experience for me, being a gay man, was not the most positive experience for me. I remember at a very young age knowing that I was different and listening to the priest on his pulpit preach about, you know, homosexuality and how it was a sin and how we were going to burn in hell. And I remember, you know, being confused with terror and fear at a very young age around God.
Yeah, that must have been very painful.
It was. It was a painful, scary experience. And so it actually left, it caused me to drift away from God and my relationship with him or her for quite a long time. At the time, I didn't understand the concept of spirituality. I kind of considered spirituality and religion synonymous with each other. So I didn't know that there was a difference. I didn't know that spirituality was a practice of love and inclusion. And so I drifted from the church, and in my, you know, late teens and early adult life, you know, I spent that time really growing into the person I was, coming out of the closet, accepting my homosexuality and sharing it with my family and friends, and that is a process that can take a little time. But during that entire time, I always felt a connection to my higher power. I always knew that I was connected to my higher power and occasionally would have a very casual conversation. The idea of formalized prayer felt too rigid to me. It felt too much like the institutional religion that I was grounding in as a child. So my conversation with my God started with hi, you know, and they ended
That's
with
a good
like,
place to
tonight.
Start.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it kept it casual, and that was the great thing about spirituality. Is when I did get reintroduced to spirituality, it was reassuring to know that the way I was approaching it all those years was okay, that it was it was completely okay, and then you know, and then my relationship with my God was intact, even though I drifted and I had to find my way back, it was intact. But just a long way of getting to answer your question, I did. Experienced spiritual awakening. It happened a few years ago when my best friend of 20 years committed suicide. It is to date the single greatest event that has happened to me in my life. And as I was dealing with the aftermath, I felt God's presence. I felt I was being consoled at a spiritual level. I handled the loss of William as gracefully as anyone could under the circumstances, and I chose a path of lessons learned, prayer, really, internal exploration versus lashing out at the world or finger-pointing or blame. And I attribute all of that to spirituality. And so after his death and ever since then, I have considered myself a spiritual person.
Wow, that's an amazing story. How did that deepening of your spirituality help you to handle that event?
It started with the fact it was recognition that William isn't truly gone, and it's recognition of the fact that I believe that I will see William again. We are we are souls having a human experience. You can think of your body. As you Super Soul Sunday, there was an episode where one of the great teachers that was on the show said that our bodies are simply clothes that we put on and take off. Our soul is who we really are. And so as far as I'm concerned, in my belief system, I believe that William just shed his human clothes and then I will join him again soon.
Wow. That's great, and I certainly agree with that understanding that we are indeed spiritual beings with a physical body, rather than physical beings with a spiritual soul, and that I've had too much experience and too many life-changing events to not believe that that is really the case. So thank you for sharing that. I'm curious, you know, how does your spirituality, how does that heart for God or for a higher power, whatever is, you know, most comfortable language for you, how does that come through in your coaching?
So I treat spirituality as a topic within my coaching. I kind of work off of the lead of my clients. It depends on circumstances and how comfortable clients are with talking about God. Some clients might be very comfortable talking about God and talking about spirituality and God's presence in their life. Other people will recognize a higher power, will recognize things such as karma, things such as you know, being thankful for what you have in your life creates more, you know, more so universal laws, things of those nature.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes I'm dealing with gay men. All together as a community, I still think many of us, especially, you know, gay men of a certain age, are still beaten and bruised from their upbringing and from the negative messaging that their religious upbringing told them. So oftentimes they may not be comfortable gauging the topic right away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you find that changes over time?
I think during the course of our relationship, oftentimes the idea of God or spirituality comes up, either good or bad, but the topic does get broached, and then we have a conversation about their belief system and how they feel about God and His presence in their life. And that's always a really interesting conversation, because I've had people go all the way across the spectrum from direct blame of God for everything that has gone wrong in their life to mm-hmm. people who have a close personal relationship with God, regardless of their circumstances, even if they were terribly difficult, but they still have a very close relationship with their God. So it's mm-hmm. really interesting to have that conversation, and it comes at all different times during the coaching relationship. Sometimes it can come out, you know, in the initial conversation, and sometimes it might be a month or two later.
I know that sometimes it's hard to distinguish between spirituality and religion, especially for folks who have been wounded by the church. Have you found that to be the case?
Yes, it was in my case as well. So I understand it well. I think that, and that's part of the reason, given that, you know, the majority of my clients are gay men, that I handle everything with kid gloves because of that understanding. And mm-hmm. and I, you know, take it upon myself that if they're open to the dialogue, it's about educating them on the difference. And letting mm-hmm. them understand that it is okay to have faith in their God, because He does accept them just the way they are, and that they are not facing an eternity of hellfire simply for existing. And so it is about making sure that people understand there is a significant difference between religion and spirituality. And also, too, I think to a certain extent, it's also making people understand that I think when most religious institutions were originally set up, they were set up with the noblest of intentions. They were set up with the best of intentions to direct their followers towards their higher power and to recognize that place in their life. And I think somewhere along the line with some of the religious institutions of the world, I think that they've just gone astray, and they've managed mm-hmm. to, you know, take all of their followers with them, and it's turned into a game of finger pointing and blame, telling people that if they operate outside of the confines of their specific religious institution, they're wrong, they're a sinner, they're going to hell. And it just becomes very petty, and it becomes very separatist and judgmental.
Yeah, and that's very painful, and has wounded a lot of people in the name of faith and of religion. And I just want to thank you so much for that. I just want to remind people of the call-in number. If you're listening and you want to call in, you want to join in our conversation, the number is 646 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. You're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen, and my guest tonight is Joel Riedens. And I also wanted to just put a plug in there for some of our upcoming shows on the Life Coach Radio Network. Tomorrow at noon is our next show, and that is Fund of Fortune. And I know that that's always a great show with some really interesting content. Wednesday night, same time as this, Wednesday at 8, there's going to be a show on Do You Think You're Happy in Your Career or Are You Really Miserable? So one of the things to be thinking about is, you know, are you really happy? Do you want to make a change? Our coaches will be on then. And then finally on Thursday, Leanne Parsons will be on with She's Your Walk Your Talk coach, and she's going to be talking about leaning into the heart of forgiveness. And that, you know, the forgiveness theme is something that, you know, I have to imagine in some ways comes up for the folks that you may be working with, Joel, mm-hmm. or for folks yeah. in the gay and lesbian community who have really, again, been wounded by the church. And mm-hmm. I know that I've seen that as well. And one of the things that for some folks that I've been in conversation with, it's realizing, too, that perhaps it was the faith of their or the religion of their childhood that was very condemning and of gay and lesbian people, but another way, and there are multitudes of ways, even within the Christian tradition, to understand God and to understand Jesus and to appreciate the fact that Jesus never talks about gay and lesbian people, ever, as recorded in Scripture. Not at all. And yet, you know, so many of the followers of Christianity have really kind of held up that being gay and lesbian as this kind of very high sin. And so to appreciate and to let folks know that there is a whole branch of Christianity that does not condemn people for being who they are and really tries to communicate and believe that God is love and that Jesus came to preach love and to preach reconciliation between us and God and between all of us and each other. So I'm wondering, you know, what have you had any experience with a more kind of progressive expression of the Christian faith in some of the conversations?
So first of all, that was so beautifully said. It's funny because when you were talking about Leanne Parsons' show and you brought up forgiveness, I was thinking to myself, wow, what a powerful topic. And then you just dove right into that, which is great. In terms of my exposure to other forms of Christianity that's more accepting, I have been exposed to Unitarian Universalist churches mm-hmm. and non-denominational institutions, and they're beautiful and they're wonderful and they're mm-hmm. all inclusive. And I think as a result of being raised in a church setting, even though it wasn't a positive environment for me the vast majority of the time, when I do go into a church, it does have a very powerful effect on me because I've made peace with God, because I feel that I'm a spiritual being and I have my own practice. When I do go to church now in an inclusive environment, like a non-denominational church, for example, or like, you know, a Unitarian church, I do feel comfortable and I feel welcome mm-hmm. and I feel very much in tune with my higher power in that setting. So there are beautiful institutions out there that people can go to if they choose to, if they, you know, to be with their God. It's just a matter of mm-hmm. finding the one that works for you. But just like you said, there are all-inclusive, welcoming various forms of Christianity out there, and it's just a matter of finding the one that works best for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I'm just going to give a shout out to my brothers and sisters in the United Church of Christ, because I think they've really been on the forefront of welcoming gays and lesbians. And they, you know, as a denomination, as a church body, are, to my knowledge, the only Protestant Christian denomination that as a whole supports and affirms same-sex marriage. And and for them, it's just really not an issue. And and I've found that that's a place where, certainly for me, where my values and my gifts are affirmed, and I'm not challenged in that way. And you know, it is sort of an, I think that so many of us struggle spiritually, you know, with, regardless of where we are on our journey. And this is the thing that keeps coming up in my practice as a spiritual direction and life purpose coach. People are really hungry for a relationship with God, Spirit, higher power. They really want to be connected. If that's, especially for folks like you, Joel, where there's that tradition and it feels like there was something in my past that I had and I don't have it anymore, and how do I, you know, tap into that more deeply and intentionally. So I'm wondering, what have you found to be spiritual practices that support your own spiritual journey?
Well, we'll go full circle, and I'll say forgiveness is one thing. I will say that when you hold on to pain, when you hold on to anger, when you hold on to resentment, the only person that's suffering in situations like that generally is yourself. In recognizing your connectivity to all other people and recognizing our universal connection to our God, forgiveness is key, and letting go of fear and opening yourself up to love. I think, you know, I'm somebody, I meditate, I pray. I heard this saying a long time ago, and I've said it about 1,000 times lately. But prayer is when you ask for help. Meditation is when you listen for your response. I think sitting in silence and meditation is one of the most important things you can do. It has been for me. I am a very energetic person. I'm high strung, and I incorporate stress very well. So it's when I hit my meditation pillow and when I remain still and with even deep breathing, in conscious breathing, that, you know, I'm able to quiet my mind, center myself, and actually listen. I get guidance from my meditations. You know, I've had answers to some of my questions pop up in the middle of meditations, and I now expect that to happen as part of my practice. So those are huge parts of my practice. Journaling is a huge part of my practice. I think when you journal about certain things that happen in your life, it creates awareness around them. So I've kept journals around fear. I've kept journals around love. I've kept journals around negative thinking. So to create awareness around those, so I can be more conscious of them when they're happening. And then, you know, in the case of the fear, in the case of negative self-talk, turn that around. So I consider those as well very important parts of my spiritual practice.
Yeah, that's amazing. I much of what the work with my clients involves is encouraging folks to take the time to meditate. And if you haven't done it, if you haven't experienced it before, you know, it can be really uncomfortable because we don't we don't have a lot of silence in our culture. We don't expect silence. We don't even expect silence in our churches. I was fascinated this summer in my husband's church. He's a pastor also, and we were doing this spiritual practice, and it's an ancient spiritual practice in the Christian tradition called Lectio Divina, where you will read a passage of Scripture multiple times and by different voices and in at different paces, and the people are then invited to just sort of sit in silence and see what kind of comes up for you. And they decided that they would do this during the summer during some of their worship. And, you know, for some folks, 30 seconds of silence, 10 minutes. Because I'm just not accustomed to taking that time out. But yeah, I mean, I have found, and I know that a number of my clients have found, that just taking the silence, being able to sit with the silence and to really make an effort to either have a phrase that they're meditating on, especially if they're just starting, because it's hard to sort of keep the random thoughts from kind of creeping in, and if you're trying to sort of clear your head and, you know, using what would be in Eastern traditions a mantra,
right,
as a way to sort of invite and invoke the spirit and to open space for God to speak to us.
It's so true. It's so funny that you said that. So, you know, something for people who may be new to meditation who are listening in tonight. The thing that what you need to understand about meditation is that's an internally focused technique. Our entire society gears us to be externally focused. We're bombarded with so much marketing that tells us to look outside of ourselves for the answers to our like questions, when in all actuality, all the answers can be found on the inside. So when you start a meditation, you need to understand that it is a discipline that you need to establish like other disciplines in your life. So you, just like you said, you know, especially if you're new, it's, you know, maybe you establish a mantra. Maybe it's you count your breathing. When I started, one of the ways I did was, you know, breathe in for 8, hold for 8, exhale for 8. And so, you know, that was another way that I helped keep my focus. I kept it on my counting. But it's important that you treat yourself with compassion. If you do drift off in the middle of your meditation and your mind starts wandering, just gently bring yourself back to your meditation, bring yourself back to your mantra, and just continue and don't give up. But it does get, you know, it's something, it's a discipline like anything else. It does take time. And by the way, I've been doing it for a long time, and there are still times where I sit down and start meditating, and 5-10 minutes later, I'm still trying to get into it. Sometimes it just takes a little time, so be patient with yourself through the process.
Yeah, and that's so hard for us, you know? I mean, and again, we're really having a deep spirituality is countercultural. And I sort of try to help and remind my clients that this is really not the way that we're being trained to be. Like, I love the fact that you mentioned that we are really, you know, we're taught that all of the ways that and answers are outside of us, and that we're to search for them outside of us. And we're not taught to sit and to be still. And I think the technique of focusing on breathing is really great and can be so, so helpful. Just focusing on deep breathing and relaxation and like you said, being compassionate when you feel like, you know, you feel that, oh, I can't do this. You know, oh, I'm so, you know, I'm so not spiritual because I can't meditate for, you know, an hour on end. Well, not many people can. And
exactly.
Realizing that, you know, it's okay that this is a discipline, that it takes time to develop, and that, you know, just by opening, but by practicing that discipline, you really open up the internal and the your own spiritual and God within, so that
exactly.
we can be attentive to that and hear that voice.
Yeah. And it's about, and you know, it's like anything else, and I've mentioned this before, create awareness with your meditation. So maybe you start small. Maybe it's just sitting there silently for 60 seconds, seeing how your mind races. You know, if you're brand new to meditation, your mind's going to run rampant. So the first few days around your meditation practice, they're short. They're 30 seconds. They're 60 seconds. They're just sitting there quietly and trying to calm your racing mind and understanding that you've been conditioned to be this way your entire life, and it's going to take a little time. And so part of the reason that so many people give on meditation before they really get started is that type of frustration that you were just talking about. It's about, you know, I'm not spiritual. I don't have the discipline to do this. I can't do this. And they get up and they walk away, and that's the end of it. Start small.
Right.
Work your way up. Be patient.
Yeah.
Be compassionate.
Absolutely. I've also found that it's been helpful for me and for some of my clients to, when possible, to retreat into a setting where silence is more the norm. So, you know, going to a retreat center or being somewhere in nature where you're not being constantly bombarded by traffic noise or, you know, your house is right by the subway line, or, you know, we have a lot of ambient noise. And I think, Joel, certainly for those of us who live or have lived in New York City, you become almost numb to all of the noise around you until you go somewhere. And I have found that this happened when I moved out of the city and I moved up to Westchester County. All of a sudden, the first thing I realized was I didn't need my white noise machine anymore to sort of block out the ambient noise that was always around. And that I was just struck by the silence and how quiet things were. And in the middle of the night, it's really quiet.
It can almost be a little unsettling, right? At least at first.
Yeah, it can be frightening. And so it's that when you create that silence again within yourself, it can have that experience of really being frightening. That, oh my God, if I'm left alone with my own thoughts, what's going to happen? And I think, again, sort of letting go of that fear you were talking about earlier, of letting go of fear and stepping into our spirituality in ways that may not be comfortable for us.
Yeah, exactly. I think that I think you're absolutely right. And also, too, you know, we're spending a lot of time on meditation, but there are other ways to create stillness in your life. And just like you said, maybe it's going to a quiet place. Maybe it's taking a hike. Maybe it's turning off all your electronic devices and just sitting quietly and relaxing, listening to some calm music, reading a good book. You know, I mean, there are other ways to create stillness in your life, too. So finding that stillness can take on other forms. If you can meditate, absolutely meditate, all the better. But if you need to start small, there are other ways you can kind of ramp up and create that kind of stillness that everybody needs in their life so they can hear the answers to their life questions. They can turn their sights inward, and they can pray, and they can listen for the responses.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. I just want to remind folks of our call-in number. If you're interested in joining the conversation, it's 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. You're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen, and my guest tonight is Joel Redens. And I'm curious if you just want to talk about some of the experiences that you've had with your clients, whether they be spiritual or not, and just helping them to sort of break through the barriers that they're facing personally Do you have any stories that you might want to share around that?
I can tell you that the common theme for my clients, and I think the common theme for most people who are facing challenges in their life, stems around fear. Mm. And that's why, you know, that's why I included my mission statement on my website, that I talk about fear of failure, fear of success, and fear of judgment by others. It keeps, okay. oftentimes it keeps people playing small. And the funny thing is that people say fear of success, and they don't understand what I'm talking about. But what a lot of people don't recognize, and even with themselves, even if they're suffering from it, is that people can be afraid of success just as much as they can be afraid of failure. And because the fact of the matter is, we were all born in God's image, and we were all destined for greatness. When we don't achieve great things in our life, it's because we've talked ourselves out of it, because we've bought into the fear and not into the love and not into the universal truth that we are part of something greater. So it is always with my clients and with my friends and with my relatives and with myself that these things, you know, usually start fear-based. And that's how you tackle it, from, you know, asking yourself, what is the problem here? What am I afraid of? And then how do I get past that? And so, you know as well as I do with coaching, for the most part with coaching, our job isn't to give people direct advice. Our job isn't to ask, you know, give people advice about their lives. Our job is to ask them questions to help guide them to their own answers. So when I work with my clients the majority of the time, I'm asking them, you know, I start with internal work before I move to external action-oriented work. And when we're focusing on the internal, the vast majority of the time, it's, you know, talking about what fear, you know, how fear is manifested for them. And, you know, since the last time we talked, has it got in the way? How has it got in the way? And if it hasn't got in the way, how have you used the fear as a guidepost to get you to where you need to be? Because what people don't understand about fear is it could actually serve a meaningful purpose in your life. When you're faced with fear, generally that means you're outside of your comfort zone. Oftentimes, human beings, we play small and we lead compromised lives because we're afraid to leave the comfortable space we've created for ourselves. When we want to achieve big goals in our life, generally that you have to manage a certain amount of fear to do that, because you're going outside of what you know and you're putting yourself out there. You're taking a risk. Fear of failure, fear of success. You're going to go out there and you're going to do something that people in your life might not understand, your judgment by others. And, but the thing that people need to recognize about fear is that if you're experiencing the fear, generally that means you're on the, you know, you're on the right path to where you want to go if you've already identified goals for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. And it is uncomfortable. You know, nobody wants to be, to experience fear in their everyday life. So how does it get, you know, so we mask that. How do you see that it gets masked?
I think oftentimes it's masked in the form of denial.
Mm.
People are afraid to admit their vulnerabilities. People do not want to admit their weaknesses.
Sure.
Our society has conditioned us to believe that vulnerabilities are weaknesses, that there's something to be ashamed of, there's something to be hidden, when in all actuality, we all have vulnerabilities and we all have weaknesses. And the sooner we admit them to ourselves and other, and we become comfortable with our vulnerabilities, the better we are as people and the farther we'll go in our lives. Because we're no longer giving them power, and we're no longer tripping over them. There's no longer hurdles in our life that we can't get past.
Yeah.
So that, you know, really it's the, you know, the majority of the time it's people who are masking their fear. And then if you can get them to admit that they have the fear, then it's helping them understand that the fear, the vast majority of the time, isn't even real. I love the acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real.
Yeah. No, that's so, true.
And so I always ask my clients when they're experiencing fear, I ask them, you know, is this rational? Is it real? And the majority of the time, it's not. I mean, you know, if they say, hey, I want to go skydiving, and they're afraid of heights, that's a little different than somebody who says, I really want to, you know, quit my corporate job and start a business of my own, and I'm afraid of failing, or I'm afraid of what my friends will think, or I'm afraid of succeeding. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I mean, at our very core, we long to be loved, and we long to be accepted by the people around us. And there's always this fear that in one way or another we're going to do something that's going to finally prove, or it's really going to confirm for the rest of the world, that we're not lovable, and we shouldn't be loved. And that fear is also tied into to shame, which is such a powerful emotion that I think most of us don't attend to or aren't even aware of as much as it probably affects us on a daily basis. And I know that I've done a lot of reading on shame, basically because I have come across so many people who have been shamed by institutional religion, and they've been wounded in that way. And usually I start by saying I'm really sorry for what the church has done to you, that that's not my understanding of church, but also what you have been sold is being told that you're not lovable and that you're not acceptable in the way that you are right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my understanding of God is the spirit who loves us and created us as perfect beings, just the way that we are. And yep. So overcoming that shame and that inability to really feel loved.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny because I'm sure that while you've been doing a lot of reading on shame, you've come across Brené Brown.
I love Brené Brown.
And, yeah, Brené Brown and the shame work that she's done. And one of my favorite quotes by her is, owning our story can be hard, but not nearly as difficult as spending our lives running from it. Embracing our vulnerabilities is risky, but not nearly as dangerous as giving up on love and belonging and joy, the experiences that make us the most vulnerable. Only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing quote. And
and
it's so true. You know, it's like the Marianne Williamson quote, which I can't quote off the top of my head, but really it's not that we are afraid of the dark, but we are afraid of being amazing beyond our expectations.
That quote is literally hanging up in front of me. I'm looking at it. The Our Deepest
Will
Fear
you read
quote
it,
by Marianne
please, Joel?
Sure. It's that's funny. Our deepest fear is that we are not inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
I just find that to be such an incredibly powerful quote.
It's
such
hanging
a,
up
so
for a reason. That is the quote that I use to remind myself on a regular basis when I'm experiencing fear, where it stems from and what it means.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. I am. And because we do shrink, we're afraid that if we really do live into who God is calling us to be and what God is calling us to do in the world, that someone will be threatened by that.
Mm-hmm,
and
exactly.
We want to be loved. So we don't, we want to eliminate that threat. And yet we have to be reminded, I think, that our shining also gives other people permission to shine. I love Paul Wellstone, who's my political hero. He had a phrase that he would always use, and he would say, we all do better when we all do better.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was a philosophy of life for him, and a philosophy of politics, that the only way that we as a society will do better is to ensure that we don't leave anybody out. Everyone is included in our doing better. And,
right.
You know, it's such close philosophy with those of us who are coaches, right?
Yeah, right on.
Yeah. Well, I just want to invite folks to join our conversation. We're having a great conversation. Thoroughly enjoying this. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-9397. It's 646-716-9397. If you have a question for me, you have a question for Joel, you have a comment, you have a quote that you've read recently that that speaks to you in any way, we just encourage you to call in and share that with us. It's we've only got a few minutes left in our conversation tonight, but anything that you would like to share would certainly be welcome. Anything that, you know, a topic of conversation that you were hoping that we'd hit on that we haven't talked about tonight?
I think one thing that's very important for all of our listeners as we talk about, we're hitting some really, you know, powerful topics. We're talking about forgiveness, and we're talking about spirituality versus religion. We're talking about, living your most powerful existence. I think it's important that people understand that they have a choice in their life. I think a lot of people, we talked about the idea of being in an externally focused environment, and when in all actuality the answers to our life questions are internally focused. And I think that one of the more powerful things that people should understand and people should own is that we really are responsible for the trajectory our lives take. No matter how trapped
Wow.
you feel, you know, at that dead-end job you're stuck in, that job that you hate, maybe you're in a compromised relationship you're not happy with. Maybe you feel like you're a victim of your circumstances, whatever they may be. There's a choice there. It may involve moving outside of your comfort zone. It may involve overcoming a lot of fear, but you have a choice. You are responsible for your own life, and I think I'm not saying in all situations, but in a lot of situations in our world today, people do a lot of finger pointing and a lot of blame. And when they're able to look outside of themselves and blame everybody else or various situations for their lives and life, it just gives them an excuse to stay there. It gives them an excuse to stay small. It gives them an excuse to stay dark. And so one of the things I think that, I want to make sure it gets touched upon is that you have choices. Everybody has choices, and if you decide that you do want to make some changes in your life, that number one, it's about looking inward, finding your own answers, and number two, also recognizing you don't have to do it alone, because there are coaches out there, and there are therapists out there, and there are well-intended friends out there, and there are sounding boards out there for you. So just know that your life is full of choices, and that if you're not happy with your current life, it doesn't have to stay this way.
Yeah, no, that's really powerful. Thank you for bringing that up, because I think that oftentimes those of us who coach, we take that as a given. You know, when we're talking about these things, we kind of take that as sort of the baseline, and often we don't remind ourselves and the people who may be listening to us that you really do have a choice. And that you can make significant changes in your life if you're willing to move out of your comfort zone, and that's hard. It's really hard. It's not an easy thing to do. And I know often there are a lot of external pressures. That whether it's family expectations or expectations of friends or even of a faith community for you to sort of stay where you are, But I know that the God that I know is a God who wants us to flourish, wants us to truly live into the life that is available to us. God wants us to be happy and to be joyful and to have meaningful work and meaningful relationships and healthy, good relationships with our intimate partners, and that we really, encourage folks who are in a bad space to find that coach, find that friend, find that counselor, and get the support that they need in order to make those changes.
Yeah. I also think it's about making sure that you give yourself credit for the place that you're in. So if you're willing to see things differently, if you're willing to change your perspective, so the metaphysical text, of course, in miracles calls a miracle a shift in perspective. When you shift the perspective in which you see the world, you can literally change the world because your perspective builds your reality. And so you literally have the power with your mind to change your reality if you choose to. It's not easy. We talked about vulnerabilities and weaknesses and admitting them and how difficult it is. We talked about the fear around making different choices. But if you're willing to reach out and ask for help, if you're willing to do the work yourself, you can achieve great things. You can achieve that miraculous life. So, one of the things I do, Jen, and I'm sure you do as well, is every time I start with a new client, I make sure to commend them for just stepping up, for just reaching out, for just being brave enough to say, I can't or I don't want to do this myself.
Right, right. And for asking for the support to make the changes that they want to see made in their life, and being brave enough to do that. Because
absolutely,
almost without exception, it takes a whole lot of courage to say, I need help. I've been trying to do this by myself for too long, and it's not happening, and I need somebody to walk with me while I'm making these changes. And I don't know
being
about
able-
you, Joel, but that's one of the privileges that I have, is walking with folks when they are on this path of self-discovery and self-awareness and self-love. It learning to embrace, who they are and to love themselves for just who they are. And that realizing that they are inherently of value and of worth.
Absolutely. And it's also important to know, too, that admitting you need help and reaching out is half the battle right there. Half the battle
absolutely
right there is just being open to making the changes and receive the help.
Yeah. Yep. No question. So I'm going to give our guest call-in number one more time. It's area code 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. We've got about 6 minutes left. I wanted to just remind all of our listeners about the upcoming shows that we have on the Life Coach Radio Network on this channel. We've got Fund of Fortune, which is the Entrepreneur Success Radio Show, which comes up tomorrow at noon. On Wednesday, we have at 8 p.m., same time as tonight, Do You Think You're Happy in Your Career or Are You Really Miserable? And making changes in your career. And then finally on Thursday at noon, Leanne Parsons, your Walk Your Talk coach, is going to be stepping into the heart of forgiveness. And as we were talking earlier, I'm really looking forward to Leanne's show, because I think that is just it's such a powerful topic. When we can be willing to forgive people who have hurt us, we're opened up, we're set free, we're liberated from those hurts and those wounds that we've been clinging to.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
absolutely.
Do you have any kind of last words as we wrap up? I'd love for you to remind our listeners how to reach you and, you know, if they wanted to be in contact with you?
Sure. So, final word. I'll probably just go off of the tail end of our conversation tonight, which is anything is possible. You're in charge of your own life. And if you have anything that you want to work on, if there's any areas of your life that you're not happy with, you have the power to make the changes. You have choices. And it's about making those right choices that ensure you get to where you want to be in your life. And if you're not sure where you want to be in your life, maybe then that's the time where you start, you know, sitting in stillness, asking yourself for guidance, praying to your God for guidance, sitting in stillness, really thinking about everything that we talked about in the context of this hour and weaving it together, because it's all related and it's all a roadmap to get where you need to be. And it's also being willing to admit your vulnerabilities and own them. So it is a means to move past them, and also being able to ask for help if you need it. And if anyone wants to get hold of me, you can reach me on my website at joelreadens.com. Again, I'm going to spell it because my name kills everyone. It's R-E-A-D-E-N-C-E, joelreadens.com. You can reach me by email at joel@joelreadens.com. My Twitter handle is joelreadens, and my Facebook page is Joel Readens Coaching.
That's great. I so appreciate what you said and how you've wrapped this up tonight. Because I don't want anybody to walk away from our conversation saying, well, you know, I can't do this spirituality thing. It's just too hard. And I don't really know what I'm doing, so I can't start anywhere. And I would just really encourage folks who are seeking and want to learn more about meditation or about prayer. There's wonderful prayer practices, different ways. A favorite book of mine is Praying in Color, and it gives you sort of a step guide as to how you can develop a prayer life that is visual and that is tactile. For some of us, that words seem to elude us, and prayer feels like having to put a whole lot of words together. And also, I would just encourage people to give a little bit more silence in their life. And if there's a way to find that silence and live within that, just give that a try and see how you can listen for that, really, that inner voice of love that comes from our Creator, our God, our higher power. And just a reminder, if folks are curious and want to learn more, I'm always open to have people contact me by email or through my website. My website is seed, S-E-E-D, spiritualcoaching.com. And my email address is Jennifer@seedspiritualcoaching. Seed stands for spiritual energy, engagement, and direction. And that's what I'm hoping that folks will glean from the work that we do together, is that they would gain spiritual energy, engagement, and direction. And you can reach me at Jennifer Kotler on Facebook, and I'm at Coach Rev Jen on Twitter. And I really look forward to being in continued conversation. In 2 weeks from tonight, we'll have another Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. I'm going to be joined on that night by Ginny Brown, who is she's a counseling psychologist, and she started an organization called Seek Safely for folks who are spiritual seekers that can do that in an environment that doesn't risk their health or their life. So I'm excited about that conversation, and I hope that you will join us. Again, this has been Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. And I hope you have a blessed night, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Good night.
Bye, everybody.